Alrighty, I'm ready.
He's ready for recording.
That's alright. I'll cut this bit out.
What's
it's
up?
Good to know you're ready, bro.
Welcome all to right. The Normal Blokes. Okay. We're improving.
Alright, 3, 2, 1. From Brisbane, Australia, this is episode 56 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40k experience. I'm Denith, and today we're joined by Luke.
Hey guys, how we doing?
And Jordan.
What's going on? Fap.
Today we'll be discussing a few things. So first off, we'll be discussing the Grey Knights release, which had some relative success before we were all locked down in our homes. Luke will lead this discussion because he's been playing around and he's had some success pre-quarantine. And we'll go into some of the new stuff and what to expect, or what we would have expected from GK. But as like most of the world here in Australia, we're starting to roll into some serious lockdown laws, which is hampering our 40k games, of course. And we'll also discuss some ways to try and stay connected and stay involved in the hobby and keep our hobby motivation up. But how are you guys going, Luke? Working from home or still heading in?
Yeah, a bit of both. I work in a lab, so no one on university campuses anymore, so I still get to go in. But yeah, just been working from home, doing my own thing, and then going in maybe once a week while it's safe before everything gets closed down. But yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. And Jordan, the crime never stops, eh?
No, the show must go on. it's been busy, but busy's good. I can get paid regardless, so.
Yeah, fair enough. And Liam working in hospitals has been pretty busy and is expecting to be busy. But yeah, I guess for a lot of hobbyists at home, we'll discuss some ways to, I guess, keep everything going. But first off, Grey Knights. So I don't know how the rest of the world's going, but here in Brisbane, all of a sudden, everyone's fucking playing Grey Knights, Luke. What the fuck is going on?
I think everybody secretly loved Grey Knights. They were the Marines that were like, you know, the smart Marines. They had powers and everybody loved them, but they just didn't have the rules that supported them the way that they supported the rest of the Marine codexes. Mm-hmm. And they were the first release codex, right? Or one of the first release codexes.
They were, yeah, soon after like Space Marines, like the first Space Marine codex, they came out.
Yeah, and even upon release, it was lackluster, wasn't seen much on the tabletop. I think in previous editions, everybody feared the Grey Knights because they were a bit of a stomping army, an unkillable army in some tournaments. But yeah, so they've come back, they've bounced back. They were given new chapter bonuses, which were Tides from Ritual of the Damned. I think it was Ritual of the Damned, right?
Yeah.
Ritual of the Damned.
Yep.
And they got them alongside the Thousand Suns and all that. But yeah, everyone seems to be playing Grey Knights, at least in Brisbane, where we're from. I think it's somewhat common around the rest of Australia. Is that right as well? Although we haven't really got many tournaments to go off.
I mean, yeah, we didn't have a huge number to go off, but we saw them coming up in the southern states before everything got locked down. So yeah, people are definitely mucking around with Grey Knights.
Yeah, and here we have a good mate of ours, Eric. He his favorite army's pretty much been one. Well, at least one of them has been Grey Knights, and he won BrizCon, Queensland's premier event with Mono Grey Knights, and this was before the.
Yeah, this was last year when
2019 April.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got some sleepers, but we've got some skilled players in the area, and I've been talking with Eric about some Grey Knights lists, and obviously one that's quite common is the double pallies, and then other ones have emerged around the globe. I think Lawrence from Tabletop Tactics won a GT using Grey Knights. So yeah, they're becoming more prevalent. And basically, how they became so strong is with, obviously, the Tides. If you haven't seen the meme on our Facebook page, please check it out.
Surf's up.
Surf's up. Tides are in. Yes, boys. So, what do you think? Should I run through just the Tides, powers, and everything?
Yeah, if you can... I reckon we're not going to spend today doing like a full codex run through. If you guys have been listening to podcasts and you're interested in GK, you've probably heard that all before. So we're just going to go through stuff that Luke, you found really strong. Starting with Tides, I guess. What stands out to you?
Well, I think obviously the main one that everybody notices is the additional mortal wound. So being able to smite from 24 inches with the brother captain for two mortal wounds, it's pretty insane because you can't count how many times you smite for D3 and roll the one. So it's automatically already better than, I would argue it's better than everybody else's smite.
Yeah.
Even T-Sons. It's more reliable. The other addition is that it does now four, if you're in that, it does four mortal wounds to demon keyword.
Fuck.
And that's just brutal. It's an interaction that maybe should be just restricted to narrative play, but at the time being, it's still a thing. So when those demon princes hit your line, you just do two smites, and that's because GK get inherent plus one. Just roll two dice and roll a four plus, and do that twice, and the demon prince is dead. That's it. So... it's pretty brutal. I found out the Incarn has a demon keyword and she got fucking...
yeah, the avatars do.
Yeah. So it's really annoying for, you know, those key interactions. The other one would be the Tide of Convergence, which is plus one strength and damage for Psy weaponry. And that is insane. You can basically get your Psy cannons, which are strength 7, neg 1, 1 damage to 2 damage. But because they pump out, if you're using a paladin squad, you've got four heavy weapons, they're pumping out 16 shots each. And with the buffs, you can get them to ignore the heavy weapon penalty and hit modifiers and then also reroll all hits. It's like, you know, 14 hits and it gets to strength 9, neg 2, 2 damage. And it, you know, becomes pretty potent. And then with the litany, it's neg 3 as well. So it's actually a high damage, high, you know, reliability way to get your anti-infantry, anti-armor in there as well.
Mm.
Then you've also got the Psy Cannons, which then become, you know, they can get a strength 6, neg 2, and D3 plus 1 damage. And with the Chaplains, you can reroll variable damage rolls, I mean, that's come into play so often for me. I like running two chaplains in my list. One for, well, you can adjust your litanies, of course, but the Chaplains can give you plus 1 AP on a unit, which is pretty insane, on Psy and Nemesis weapons. Yeah. The other ones reroll variable damage rolls, 5-up feel no pains for when you're versing a mortal wound heavy army. You know, there's a lot of flexibility there, but we can get into that in a little bit. The other Tide is Tide of Shadows. I think these are the three main that you'll use, which is Tide of Shadows, is always in cover and neg one to hit if you're already in cover.
Yeah, that's a good one to start on. Because you selected at the start of the game, right? What you start on? Or is it pre-game?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, you start at the start of your turn, you select one.
Yeah.
And then you can change it with the psychic power from each subsequent turn. But on the first turn, it's kind of like your best, like, opportune moment because you get to use the two key ones that you want to use.
Yeah.
Without having penalty. And then from then on, you really have to think a couple turns ahead where you want to be and what tides you want to be in.
Yeah. And... you know, leading off that, there's ways that people have been doing, like switching out of the psychic tide into the shooting tide, you know, before all the shots come out and things like that, or switching back into the psychic tide in key moments. I mean, there's definitely a lot of pre-planning involved. But the games I've had with you, Luke, I've noticed that just the ability for that Grey Knight's, like, psychic battery to just continue and just be, like, consistently wounding high. It's so fucking mental. And what are the things that you use to boost that with Warlord traits and stuff?
So Warlord traits, I think, and I've had long discussions with Eric about this, and he's summed it up the best that I can. And that's you want as many people with multiple powers as you can in the army, because if you're restricted to casting one power per unit, it can kind of get a little bit fickle. But if you have a number of people with multiple powers to cast per turn, the flexibility is there to get smites in power, to get, you know, key powers off. Because essentially you need to run a certain number of minimum units to get your CP in order, and also your key, you know, key units like the double pallies or the single pallies and three terminator squads. And you want to get as much defensive key buffs off as you can, and enough damage off with smites as you can. So having those extra powers in there really helps. So that's why you take librarians. I have two librarians in my list, and you take the Warlord trait for Lore Master.
Yeah.
To give you an extra power as well.
Yeah.
And you want to double up on key powers as well, so people can't just, you know, snipe out a certain thing that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I found that to be a big issue. So Lawmaster was the biggest Waller trait that I would auto take. I mean, you can take First of the Fray, which is reroll charges, and they're basically the only two that are worth noting.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, most of the time, if it's going to be doing a 9-inch charge, and you can't get any bonuses to that, and a 9-inch rerollable charge, for me at least, isn't. I don't even bank on it. Every game I try and do it, it just doesn't work out for me. So I think if you're relying on that little bit, you know, the less than 40% chance of luck for a key play to go off, there's obviously a better game plan than that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. What gives you the modification on the dice? Is that a relic?
For psychic powers?
Yes, sorry, for psychic powers.
Yeah. So the key relics that you take as well, the auto take one is Sanctic Shard. If you don't have that in, you're doing something wrong. It's plus one to cast and reroll foul casts.
Fuck.
In fact, it might even be... Let me just double check. I got it here.
When a psychic test is taken for a model with this relic, you can reroll the result. Add one to the total for psychic test taken for a model with this relic.
And do you put that on your big dick Libby with the extra power?
Yeah, exactly. So it's important to know that the Lawmaster, it only gives you an extra power to know. You can't cast an extra power.
Yeah, okay.
So you want to give it to someone who has as many powers as they possibly know or can cast, but that's obviously a Libby. And man, it's so reliable because you can reroll any result. So if they can deny you and you're in range, you're like, oh shit, I rolled a 4. I got my power off, but you know, fuck it. I got 90% chance to pass this power. I'm going to reroll the result, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a free reroll. The other one that I find very helpful is the Stave of Supremacy, which it's a model with warding stave only. And I normally throw this on my other Libby or my brother Captain. And I give my brother Captain Stave because I only have one. It gives him plus one invo in combat. And that way, if they come in and commit to the brother captain, he's got a 3-up invo in combat, I believe.
Wow.
So it just makes him more reliable. And if he's in there trying to be your damage dealer, you kind of done something wrong in your movement phase. So there's other things that deal enough damage that he doesn't need to be. He just needs to be there for the smites and the survivability.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the stave gives you plus, you can modify any result. I've read the wrong title. It's the Artisan Nullifier Matrix.
Okay.
You can plus one or minus one to the result shown on the dice, which is very important because you can negate perils.
Oh, that's cool. Oh,
and if you're casting 17 powers a turn, in my case, you're gonna perils. So it's essentially a free CP. That's the way I see it. You know, it's a free CP for 6 turns. So it's worth 6 CP, and you just have to pay one for it. So I think it's an auto take as well. But yeah, I misread the title of that. Yeah,
no, it's all good. So currently we have an army that has a lot of psychic powers. You need to be looking at taking the extra relics and stuff. And of course, we haven't talked about it yet, but we've got a lot of key stratagems that you use because obviously Grey Knights gained. Fight when you die for squads, they gain transhuman, they gain bonuses to their shooting, things like that. They've also got their new litanies, which we didn't cover, but you got all this. How do you find balancing, you know, battalions and CP use versus keeping it minimal?
Yeah, look, there's been a lot of debate in some Grey Knights talk about whether you run the double battalion or if you run just the double pallies. And I think you can honestly make it work with just the double pallies.
Yeah.
So I run my list with 10 CP, which goes down to 9 after I take the additional relic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just battalion, supreme command, and a vanguard.
Yep.
I've had some thoughts around running a double battalion with the 6 strikes, but honestly... I think Lawrence from Tabletop Tactics did this list. But honestly, I just find the strikes just redundant. I mean, they're 17 points or something like that for a single wound Space Marine. And we all know that that's, you know, you could buy an intercessor for that many points, you know?
Mm.
They just don't they're just a waste. There's just a free kill point and they're a waste of points. It's too much of a points tax in an army that doesn't get many models to begin with. So yeah, I opt for the route of more survivable units with less CP. Sure, it makes you have to be more cagey with your play and more careful with your play, but I think it's the better way to go. Now, there's been some other talk with a list of double battalions still, and you have one paladin bomb instead of the two, and then you trade up for 20 Grey Knights Terminators, which their troops choice.
Yeah,
so it's 20, two squads of 10 Terminators, and then four strikes. So you minimize the strikes there, but yeah, haven't really played with it yet. I've just had some long discussions about it. In my opinion, I think the double pallies is better. But yeah, what are you going to say, Jordan?
Terminator units are still a four up, can't you, Invol?
Yeah, you can. So they have the set. So this is the trade off. So this is what everybody argues, right? It's they're exactly the same unit, except you get two less heavy weapons, special weapons, and you lose an attack and you lose a wound, right? Mm. But they're like 390 points versus 460 for the squad. So it's trade-off, and you get the CP for it, right? So yeah. I think
a big thing, like getting the CP and having them obsec is pretty fucking cool.
The obsec is good, yes, exactly.
Can they still take warding staves?
I'm not quite sure, actually.
That if you can, they're definitely worth it. There'd be a great screen,
yeah.
A unit of 10 of them,
yeah. Look, I've got the codex here, I'll quickly look it up.
While you're looking at that, Luke, I mean, we're looking at two different ways people are playing them. Like, a lot of players are playing them, you know, with a more aggressive style. If you have them in strike units, you can kind of be everywhere and take the board, and you put your opponent in a position where you give them the choice of, oh, fuck, like. There's strikes everywhere. They can shoot. They can smite. They can actually do shit. And they're obsec. And they're denying my deep strikes. Plus, you've got a pally bomb in the backfield. But on the other hand, it gives up kill points. It gives rap targets. While the way that Luke's suggesting, it's a bit a different play style. And I guess it's playing to the way that, Luke, you play 40K, which is a bit more reserved, a bit more conservative on the board, and going for a more precision approach to how you're hitting. So I guess there's merit in both options. But you found that entry, Luke?
Yes, I have. So they can take anything from the melee weapons list, which I believe is staves. Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, nice. So yeah, they have the same loadouts, two less heavy weapons. It's just, you know, the paladins are just so good, and it's a bit, I find it easier maneuvering two key squads and making sure that they're safe rather than having, you know, three key sort of squads and them doing a little bit less each, if you know what I mean.
Because you only really want to buff up like one, maybe two, if you're splitting offensive and defensive. But three is a bit hard to manage. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like if you've got three, you can likely hide two if you're lucky. One of them's going to be buffed, but then you know the other one's probably going to one of them's going to cop it. So you know, in your basic board, you'll probably send the pallies forward. You've got two Terminators hiding backfield. You'll be able to hide one squad, but not so much the other. And then the squad that's not safest is, you know, it's more redundancy. You got more chance for being exploited.
Mate, this is essentially a shooting version of your double spear list, isn't it?
Well, it is exactly. And the thing is, it's less maneuverable. I will say that I think it's less maneuverable because the spears, I felt like you could really position them wherever you needed them.
Yeah.
But the psychic powers are so much more reliable.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because you're casting everything on basically a five on the dice roll, which is just insane. And then when the psychic army comes in, you just fucking deny everything. Because you have some key stratagems that can help you do that.
I think probably where you're talking about the maneuverability of this list compared to like say a spears list. I think where obviously Eldar was better in that aspect is that their movement characteristic is better. Like, yes, being able to replace a unit like deep striking constantly is pretty cool. But if your opponent has very good board control, you're in a bit of trouble. Like, you know, that I think that's always going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I agree.
There's so many armies at the moment like Horde armies can just take the board so easy. It just presents a big challenge for your list, I think.
Yeah.
The other thing I found from our game of recent was you've got amazing Horde clearing ability with all those bolters. Like, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Especially if you start buffing them too. Like, you can clear guardsmen, you can clear nids, you can clear all that sort of stuff really easy. I guess the higher toughness screens are probably a bit harder, but still, like, so many shots.
Yeah, and that's where the smites start to come in for the elite armies. The smites really start to carry the battle, so they're really well rounded. I think their limit is just the maneuverability. You have to be really careful with it.
Yeah, and as Jordan found, Thunderhammers also do all right.
Oh, don't they ever?
Yeah, the what's the squad called? The Death Company, man.
Yeah, the Death Company.
It's insane.
The Cut Company.
Yeah.
So. Anyone, for people listening, me and Luke had a game probably a couple of days ago, Mono Blood Angels versus Mono Grey Knights, and it was an ITC match, went six turns, and it was 31-29 to Luke at the end. It was an absolute bloodbath. Very good game. I think we found in that game there's obviously the Grey Knights' weaknesses.
Yep.
And that's why I talk about the board control. Luke went first. And knowing that he went first, I went, I'll just throw scouts everywhere, knowing that you're going to have to redeploy is going to be in your psychic phase. So you're going to have to clear me in your shooting phase, which means you're not going anywhere in turn one, which is what I wanted, because then I can get you. Basically, I can get you where I want you, which worked out really well for me. So, but end of the game didn't obviously go favorable because almost got tabled, but awesome game regardless. So, I think we've learned a lot. Both of us learned a lot about Grey Knights because that's the first time I've played. Like, I played Linford with a very similar list. He ran the double battalion list, which I think I prefer your list because you had way more characters, which made your psychic powers way more reliable.
Mm-hmm.
You had more litanies. Yeah, it was a very, very challenging list to play against.
Yeah, you'd also find a lot of people only run, like, the one chaplain, I think. The litanies are so good. I mean, sure, they're 100 points, but those litanies are insane.
And boost, and having, more than just one dude that does it for redundancy, and also, there's so many good ones. You got the neg one to wound one's ridiculous, man.
Oh, that's a power.
Oh, so that's power. One, yeah. Fuck, okay. I can't
get that. Yeah, that's, it's even better. But, dude, I put that power on, like, three dudes just to make sure I've always got it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's good because you've got chaplains. Chaplains can cast powers as well for Grey Knights, which is just like anyone in their army. So they're casting litanies and psychic powers, which is just so cool because you can go, like, like Denise just said, you can go the neg one to wound, and then also cast your litany, your specialized litany, which is just so cool. It's very unique.
My list, for example, mine's pretty much similar to what you'll see for most double paddle lists. They always have a little bit of flavor that changes, like, one or two characters or something like that, or they may include Drago or they may not. Essentially, it's the same thing. And basically, you have 17 powers, and of which you have 9 key powers that you kind of want off every turn, which, that, what's that? 9 smites? 8 smites you're going to take per turn. Like, it's a lot of... It's a lot of damage. It's a lot of survivability. It's just the maneuverability. I think that's the thing where some people will trip up. And I think that's the way that you're going to end up if you're aiming to beat Grey Knights, which if they're, we haven't seen them in any grand tournaments or anything with the coronavirus and everything going around. But if you want to beat them, I think maneuverability is where you'll have to sort of win the game.
Yeah.
And board control.
Yeah, it is hard because they have shooting in the psychic phase. There's a power to shoot in the psychic phase, and you have astral aim. So it's hard when you're trying to hide, like, as you said, Jordan, units of scouts.
Yeah.
So because they just get cleaned up, and that's generally the general strategy that Grey Knight players will adopt, is clear out all the chaff first and then deal with the heavy hitter units.
Yeah.
And I think armies that excel against the Grey Knights would be things like Blood Angels, where you can sort of deep strike in, because they don't have an all specs against Stratagem, you can deep strike in and just hit them reliably and do as much damage as you can. And you'll have to get in on a key turn when like a power fails or something like that, or just have, you know, such heavy glass cannon units that you can overwhelm. That's one way. Otherwise, it would be to hinder their maneuverability. So blocking off areas of the board, objective placement, make them have to move out of bubbles, because I find that once those paladin units get stranded, any time a Grey Knight unit is stranded, it basically becomes nearly useless. Because if you know, a 450-point paladin squad, if you send them away and the next turn they got no buffs, they're just marine bolters that move 5 inches, you know? You can literally almost ignore them.
It's like a custode unit. Like, you just hammer them down.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in the double paladin list without the double battalion, they don't have enough CP to keep fueling the heavy damage stuff if they're going for survivability. So there's two ways you can take it. If you've only got 10 CP, you can only go really survivable if your enemy commits on you and just make them hit a brick wall and stop, and then you win the game. And I find that's generally what will happen. Or you spend the CP offensively. When you get the right engagements, you can just obliterate certain key units, and then you line your basic inherent survivability with the rest of their stuff.
Yeah. And that, but,
go ahead.
I was going to say, that gets hard when you've got armies around like Blood Angels that literally hit you with like three waves, sometimes even four waves of stuff now. Like, you got a turn one hit with Dev Company and then multiple Sanguard units that can come through. And that gets really hard to defend for that, you know, for three, maybe even four turns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, from our matchup when me and Luke were playing, if I had gone first, it was Death Company across the table turn one. And then just all the buffs. But instead, it was Luke went first. What'd you kill? I think he just...
I flopped.
Killed. Yeah.
I tried to kill two scout squads and I killed like one model. It was sick.
One model and then killed a whole squad from another model. Yeah. A whole squad, that was good. But then basically it was the Sanguinary Guard, like 18 of them running up the center of the table, and then turn one unit charged, and then the other one deep strike charged. So I got two charges off. Didn't really do much, but it was it was a mistake I learned from in that game. Was like, you know, don't. I tried to get in turn one. I probably should have just sat back, absorbed the five up, feel no pain, mortal wound banner.
Because
I could have, you know, I could have gone transhuman and then just sit in cover and try weather the storm for a turn, and then I had a really good charge with all my characters buffing me, but I took the greedy approach and didn't pay off. I lost all the Sanguard, I think almost all of them in one turn.
Yeah,
and then the Death Company come down and redeemed themselves and killed 10 paladins. Bye, paladins.
I wanted to say as well, with the Grey Knights, I find that a lot of approaches from people is to, you know, they have their army, and their army normally does that one thing where they have, you know, a key, just absolute beat stick unit, and they just send it in turn one and do as much damage as they can. I think with the Grey Knights, you can't quite approach the game the same way. I think a lot of the times people just throw in a unit and it hits the wall of paladins and flops, particularly if they're buffed, because transhuman, and then if you got Sanctuary, you got three up invos in combat with three wounds. So D3 damage becomes, you know, null and void, same with 2 damage, so it becomes hard to deal with. I think you really have to sort of play the smart attrition and play the mission more rather than play the typical kill and overwhelm your opponent, unless you've got, you know, certain units where you can reliably do it, like the Death Company. I think that's the approach that people should take if they're versus Grey Knights.
Yeah, nice. And oh man, it's suddenly become like this hard shell to crack with that army. But position in the meta, I'm pretty convinced they're up the top. Like, they're pretty close in the top tier with some other stuff. What do you guys reckon?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree they're up the top. Either on par with Marines or a little bit below them. But yeah. It's yet to be seen with major tournaments. I do think they're up the top. They're definitely a contender for sure.
Yeah, I'd put them in a top five any day of the week at this stage. Yeah,
I'd put top three. Yeah.
Top three. Yeah. I mean, we got Super Faction of Chaos and the Super Faction. Oh, I guess Orcs. Yeah, you're right, Jordan, coming through. So, but man, they're GK. If you don't know how to handle them, are fucking strong.
Yeah,
I think obviously prior to all this coronavirus stuff, they were still doing well. Like Lawrence Baker won a tournament with them in the UK, and other players were scoring like top tier of them. UK, I think Stephen Box was playing his Blood Angels, and he went top table against a Grey Knight player. Obviously, he wiped that Grey Knight player pretty bad.
I think he said he played two of them, right?
Yeah. He played one, he was talking about where he just essentially tabled them turn two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he tabled him, turn one, so basically.
Shit.
The guy put all his, stuff on the table, and I think he left a heap of units in Deep Strike, and Stephen Box basically ran into a building, fought one, stayed 3 inches away, but declared everything, and then moved forward again, fought twice, and killed all the characters. And then he had nothing left on the table at the end of turn one.
Got table. Fuck.
Mm.
So, you know, but that guy had made top table, so they're still up there. Like they're winning tournaments, and they're placing well. And that was only a very short period of time with not a lot of tournaments being played. So it will be interesting to see where they're at. You know, say in once with this is all over, but then we don't know what's going to release to that as well. Like Orcs obviously got a good buff and. Will be very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll finish on that for our Grey Knights coverage. We'll take a quick break and come back with staying and keeping the hobby alive during quarantine. All right, and we're back. So in the second part of this episode, we'll be discussing what we're all doing to keep our 40K up during quarantine. So obviously, you know, even though we're pretty nerdy and we're into our games, this is quite a social hobby. And I'm sure a lot of people listening, you know, you've got a lot of mates in the hobby, people who you play with regularly, people you discuss hobby stuff with regularly. That's going to be pretty hard for the next few months. So yeah, I guess we'll go through what everyone's doing, but starting off with staying connected with your 40K mates, how are you guys doing that at the moment? Of course, we've got the show, which makes it a bit easier for us, but how are you guys handling this, Luke?
Yeah, well, we chat on Discord. I'm generally messaging on Facebook all the time.
I'm pretty sure probably. I have more like Facebook groups about 40K than actual 40K mates at this stage. It just pops
honestly,
up.
There's so many group chats that if I ever want to talk 40K, I can post them. You can talk 40K for hours. So.
Yeah, and it didn't always start like that. It was just like me, you, Luke, and Jordan, and a few of the other guys at the start, but it kind of grows. But
now we have a group of what, like 15 people, 20 people?
More than that, I reckon.
But, we talk to you every day about it. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes... Sorry, you go.
Oh, I'll just quickly say, we've got James who reliably asks for a game every day at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So if you ever want a game in the afternoon, it's James.
Fucking find James Fuller on Facebook. His profile picture is him at his wedding. Just find him.
Yeah. And he's probably wanting a game. His nickname is literally 2 p.m.
It's like 2 p.m. games daily or something. Yeah. Of course, going into coronavirus stuff, it's going to be pretty hard. But it's funny because when I was at work before the coronavirus and it was a busy day, I'd open my phone up and there'd be like 10 things going off and I was like, fuck, this is like so much to trawl through. But now it's like, wow, it's actually really cool because we can engage with our mates and still talk the same 40K stuff and share our hobby stuff because of all the tech that we have. Like, not even just, you know, if you're in an isolated area and you don't have that many people you interact with, you can still see like pages and stuff on Facebook, which is really cool. And Instagram's been big as well with painting. So, Jordan?
Yeah, so, well, for me, the quarantine has been a bit crappy. Ways going over to friends' houses and having multiple games and going to stores most of the time and having games because I don't have a table at mine. But most of my games have just been like, because you are still allowed to see, you know, you're allowed to have one person over at your house as long as there's not multiple other people that don't reside at that house.
This is in Queensland, Australia at the moment. So, you know, if you're in, you know,
Wuhan, China, or, you know, Rome, Italy, please don't follow our advice.
Yeah, don't listen to anything we have to say because we're not helping you. And yeah, so like me and Luke had a game recently. Me and Wayne had a game probably about a week ago. I'm looking to probably tee up a couple more, in maybe one more this week and then probably one next week on my days off. Yeah, but the quarantine's been good. Like, I think the group chats are important. Like, I think you don't realize how important they are until like something like this happens, and then you're like, oh, I'm glad everyone is in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we literally have no idea where the meta's going at the moment, we're all able to just sit there and talk smack and talk ideas.
Yeah.
Which I think is, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, yeah. It's definitely awesome. Like, quarantine's made it hard, but then we've just found ways to adapt and overcome those issues.
And one thing on that point, Jordan, one thing that I've found really cool during this quarantine is I've been sick of not being able to actually play 40K. So I looked up, you know, how to get up Tabletop Simulator going, and there's a few good videos on YouTube about, you know, how to load that up. And there's a massive community of people that play Tabletop Simulator. Like, they've been playing it for years, and like, they're really good. And they've got a lot of add-ons to Tabletop Simulator, is essentially this game that allows you to play essentially chess and checkers or whatever game you want, but it also allows for workshopping your own games. And people have made like 40K maps with ITC scoring and ITC ruins rules, and you know, you can import Battlescribe lists into it. And only the other day I got it going, but I'm pretty keen to look into it because it seems awesome.
I watched a video recently on how to get it working, and this guy gave, it's like a 15 minute video.
Yeah.
He just gives a rundown on like how you save your armies and stuff. And
yeah,
it does look really cool. It does look like it takes some time to get used to, and it'd be very clunky, but but I mean, it looks pretty awesome to play. Yeah. And especially in times like this.
Bro, I miss putting the Death Watch on the table, eh? I miss, you know, flying that bike out and shit. But yeah, the video that I watched, it's by, I think his name on Facebook, on YouTube, sorry, is Magikarp Use Fly. It's pretty funny. But it starts off with the Halo theme song with the guy playing drums on his tummy. He seems a bit weird, but it's actually a fucking good video. So if you find it, check it out.
Magikarp Use Fly and then Tim playing, dude, all of that.
Diffy put it into one of our group chats, and I'm pretty sure Diffy said, "This guy's weird, but the content's good, and watch it." But I mean, on a side note as well, like, one thing I found that has been really cool is that because we don't essentially have tournaments to prep for, and we don't have this, you know, impending need to get shit painted, to get shit done, I found it pretty refreshing to actually just do hobby for the sake of doing hobby and just making stuff look nice. What about you guys?
Yeah, so I've definitely been doing some painting. I've just knocked over like 10 more Sanguinary Guards, so I now have 20 and 2 banners. All my characters are done. I'm still holding back, like reserving myself on wanting to rebase half my army because I've now started a new scheme on the bases. So I'm kind of holding myself back at the moment, but I'll get it done soon because it's like any of this is changing in the next month or so. So, and I've got some more goals to get more Sanguinary Guard because you can never have too many, apparently.
Nah, so, bro, you can't. It's a 6-turn game. You may as well have 6 units, right?
That's all right. So I have currently got a list together. That's the other thing too, like with the hobby goals in this aspect, you know, the amount of lists that are being created at the moment by people, like guys in our group chats are saying, oh, mate, I made 5 different lists today. Like, because people, the problem is we just don't have time to play all these new lists. So
poor Battlescribe's probably busier than Pornhub right now.
That can't be right.
That's a lie.
That's a Denise statistic.
Premium's free, boys. sorry.
That's me, man. That's
okay. Well, I've been doing a bunch of painting. Been painting some Grey Knights. I've employed. I don't know if that's the right word. Employed the girlfriend into helping paint some GK, and she's doing a fantastic job. She's a better painter than me. But yeah, just a lot of painting. That's been keeping me going. And Denise and I are going to try and get this tabletop simulator working.
Yeah, man.
It should be good. Oh, and one last thing. Sorry, Denise. We actually, the guys in our little gaming group, they downloaded and started playing Dawn of War.
Dawn of War games. That's right. The boys started playing.
Yeah,
that's definitely something that's good fun to do. Just a casual, you know, have a bit of fun. You can verse each other. You can verse AI, whatever you choose.
I mean, maybe not Dawn of War 3. Like, just watch the trailer for that one. But stick with 1 and 2 for the actual gameplay.
Yeah, definitely don't get Dawn of War 3.
Man, I remember the first time I saw that trailer, and it finishes with, like, that Imperial Knight just smashing through the Eldar Titan. And it looks... Or the Wraith Knight, sorry. And it looks so cool. And I was like, man, this game's going to rock my socks off. And it was just trash.
And then you got StarCraft 3 is what you got.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, me and Luke have been playing a bit of COD as well.
Yeah, Call of Duty Warzone. That's not 40K, Jordan.
Doesn't matter. It's still fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah, so all of us have just been doing stuff. We've just had a lot on and with the hobby and in different aspects,
and
which I think is great in this time.
Yeah, and I mean, especially if, you know, if you've got 40K mates that you haven't spoken to in a little while, shoot them a message. Make sure they're going okay. The world's, you know, turning upside down, but we can still be there for our mates. I've got, you know, people who I met overseas through 40K that shoot me a message being like, hey, man, hope it's okay in America, in Australia and Canada and stuff. So, it's always good to stay connected, and at least we can do it this day and age. But, the other thing we could probably look at is, you know, a lot of people who get really into 40K and try and get better at playing by getting the games in. I think if 40K is important to them, they'll probably want to find a way to keep those skills up and not lose any progress or any, you know, any of those good things that they've gained from playing the game. And I guess ways to keep that up is obviously stuff like we've already said, you know, list crafting, reading new releases, potentially even trying new stuff on things like Tabletop Simulator, or if you can, getting over to your mate's place and having a game, depending on your circumstance. But I think we can definitely, not lose the things that a lot of people have gained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just on what Denise was saying too, like I said, reading new releases. If you can't afford the new books, you know, because maybe you've lost your job due to this, the whole quarantine and things like that, mate, jump on Reddit. Reddit's free. There's a lot of good information on Reddit. You've got to siphon through a lot of shit sometimes. But normally there's a lot of good stuff on Reddit too. And you'll get an understanding on, like, synergies of lists. You'll see how certain lists play out. And because of, obviously, all the new releases, like, a lot of people don't know about Grey Knights. A lot of people don't know about the new Sisters stuff. This, like, even Space Wolves, Orcs. So jump on there, have a look. You'll hear about, you know, people will build lists with particular synergies, and you'll find out why. Like, Orcs will be running 3 flyers from now on because they can just model in the crap out of everything. You know, so you jump on, read that stuff, learn other people's armies, because I sometimes reckon that's the best way of winning games in 40K, is knowing what your opponent can do to you and what they can't do to you.
Yeah, 100%.
So when you do get back to your games, you've got that upper hand. You've got knowledge, and knowledge is everything.
Yeah, and you know, one cool thing about stuff like, you know, this downtime is exactly that, Jordan, being able to look at other armies and learn them. I remember when I was playing the Death Watch, I told myself I needed to learn how to beat Tau. And I just played Tau a few times, and, you know, actually played Wayne with Tau. And after I did that, I was like, wow, this army has clear strengths, but it's got very fucking obvious weaknesses. And it's really easy to, you know, to look at that when you're on the other side. Because when you're, it's just like Grey Knights that we just talked about. When you're against Grey Knights, it sounds terrifying. It's like, oh, fuck, they can shoot me, they can smite me, they can do this, that, and the other. All you need to do is pick up a game as that army, and all the weaknesses are just right in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely a good point. And another thing I wanted to say was ITC missions have brought out new rules. I think it's a good time to get familiar with them, because playing them the other day, I had no fucking clue what I was doing. And I hadn't seen much of them. There's so many new things in there, so it's a good time. Just get the ITC Battles app, and it has all the ITC rules and secondaries and whatnot in there that I think you should read up and get on.
That app is fantastic.
It makes your games really easy.
It's so, so efficient. You don't need to bring a pen and paper anymore. You just bring that app and all your rules are there. All your missions are there, your deployments, absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your players pack in an app.
Man, I got really good at drawing up that table. Hey, I got really, really good at it. But then the app came out.
Like, damn, I'm out of paper. Now I got the app.
Yeah, it was good. So, actually, another question, Luke, what did you score for your secondaries in that game? Did you max all your secondaries?
Oh god, yeah, I did, but they were terrible secondaries because it took me. Well, I suppose I got them all, but I mean,
yeah.
It just took check. Game. Yeah.
On that point, since the new missions came out, I've made a point of picking Born for Greatness on Mephiston every single game, and it's been fucking atrocious. But I've just made a point of it. It's just fun as.
I've wanted to try that, Born for Greatness of Mephiston, but I actually think the way I use him now is a lot different to how I used to use him. I used to just straight up find something for him to kill and just throw him at it and hope it dies. Now it's like he's real buffy and then I play him defensively. He still runs up with my army, but when he's in their line, like he was the last character to die when I played Luke. And he managed to kill a chaplain. He killed a few things, actually.
Yeah, I guess you really want him alive in that GK matchup.
Yeah. Having the two denies with the plus, because pretty much it was turn one, he was there with the plus one deny. He was in Luke's face turn one because I got wings off, wings of sanguineers off, and then I just basically advanced him straight in the middle of the line, and then just stayed with all my characters and then straight into the fray in turn two. I think he died in turn four I tried to screen him with a tank to stop the smites, but it didn't work. The tank got murdered, and then he got murdered straight after.
You know what we could do? Sorry, Luke, you go.
I was just going to say, on the ITC secondaries thing, everyone, if you're interested in, you know, staying up to date on the ITC secondaries and competitive choices for that, head over to Down Under Pairings. They're from our friends Adam and Josh from Art of War Down Under, and they basically track everything that you enter in the ITC Battles app goes to this website now. They're now partnered. And they're tracking all the stats for all the secondaries. So, you know, it's even got the new secondaries in here. So Stappers, on average, it gets 2.15 points. The new Recon gets 2.7 points. Headhunter, yada, yada, yada. It has all the secondaries there. The highest scoring one is the Reaper at 3.5 points now, considering that Marines are 2 wounds.
You just kill everything and you get Reaper.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a really good head over to the website. You just go down into pairings and you go reports in the top menu bar. You might have to make an account, but it's free and they don't harass you with emails, so don't worry about that. Just go reports. And then you can go ITC secondaries, and then you can have a look at the secondaries there. You can even filter it based on what faction's versing what faction. You can filter on number of people. It's very flexible, awesome, and very informative. So check that out if you want to, you know, step to add on competitive choices for ITC secondaries.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of good data there. And, you know, we've classically used that in the past to think about what secondaries to build for. Classically not King of the Hill, but and what secondaries to look at having. Like engineers, for example, you know, a lot of lists, especially leading up to things like CanCon, built for stuff like engineers. I remember on an interview with Chris Wright, he talked about, you know, having the Impulsor and the dudes inside just in case. I guess that's really it in terms of all that. I'd like to finish on, you know, stay connected. This is a really good time to figure out, you know, another little hobby project. And one thing we might even consider doing is having little hobby challenges among the three and maybe four of us with Liam, but we all know how much Liam loves to hobby. And, you know, give yourself some goals and think about the opportunities this might present for your hobby. For me, you know, I've been painting like shit for like a year now. I'm actually starting to slow down and paint stuff properly, which is, you know, a bit of a bonus out of this. All right, you guys, Luke?
Yeah, I zoned out because I was looking at these cool
Luke's on the stats. Luke's on the stats. What about
you, Jordan? I've been lost. 240 games of Grey Knights have been played since, guys. Interesting.
So Luke's going to spend his spare time looking at stats, much like he does all the time. What about you, Jordan?
Well, for me, I'll be doing more painting, obviously, and just occasionally testing new lists. But I think right now I have literally found the perfect list, the list I'm happy with and that I'm playing. And it does not... I went out and bought three impulses and now I'm going to be playing none of them. It's like, come on. But in saying that, it's good because I've probably got another list that I'll run impulses because they're great for absorbing smites.
Oh, they're awesome. You know the best bit, bro? If you have a little marine detachment, you can psychic fortress it. Oh, wait, you're playing pure. Never mind.
No, I'm not playing anything but pure. Yeah. For now, anyway, until Deathwatch get buffed, and then it's like, oh, I'm
on the 60 tree. Vets. 60 vets.
Yeah, I can't help it. Yeah. So I bought some more Terminators the other day so I can make another. And I bought some Terminators and then I bought a heap of, this guy had some really cheap Deathwatch vets up for sale, like 20 of them. Oh, so nice. I've just like done a bit of chopping and adding some storm shields and storm bolters. And I reckon I'll be getting another 15 vets and then another 5 Terminators. So I should be able to level it out to another 20 vets, which means 50 vets. That's a terrible idea. I might just
run 40. Nah, dude. I don't know if 50 is an amazing idea. 40 is definitely a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. 30 was good, but I found that 30 is just not enough sometimes.
Yeah, and the rest of the world is like, what the fuck? Deathwatch is bad. Why are you playing Deathwatch?
Deathwatch sucked. Don't play Deathwatch.
Don't nerf Deathwatch, GW. Just give us a bit of a boost. Give us Transhuman. Yeah. We should be right.
Yeah, my win streak with Deathwatch sucks as well.
Yeah. It's pretty... but yeah, Luke, back to you. Anything else you're going to work on for the next couple of weeks?
No, just painting these Grey Knights and trying to get in with, you know, games here and there. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you got some sick bases with the purple grass, mate.
Yeah. With help of the girlfriend, she helped me with the colour scheme. And yeah, it was good. I think it's cool. It's like they're on like a little warp world, you know. I didn't want the generic bases with just the astral granite and whatnot. So I don't know. Thought I'd add some colour. But then again, I'm never the best... hobbyist. This would be the first army I've ever probably near completed painting. So
don't say that, Luke. You got a pretty cool Incarn.
That's true. You painted it, didn't you?
and Denise also broke it about a million times.
I've broken it more That's times true. Than it's
I had
worth.
To magnetize the sword because you broke it so many times. I just thought, fuck it. It's just going to get knocked off again.
Yeah. But I guess on that note, we'll finish up. For anyone who's bored in their quarantine time, shoot the group a message, shoot our Facebook page a message, hit us up. We'll throw you some chat. I'll throw you some average chat. Jordan might throw you some slightly better chat, but, keep your hobby up, get on Tabletop Simulator and, take it easy. And look out for more content from us.
Stay safe.
Peace out, homie.
Turn it up. Let it start from block 1 to block.